Verse 16 to verse 42. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of the Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of the disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The Lord bless the reading of his secret word. after one decade, Christianity in Singapore has increased from 14% to 17%. So we may say that with the increase of Christianity, we will be more received. In fact, this is not. And I'll give you two instances how those who are in the world and outside Christ hate Christians. Some years ago, this side road was open, and so it goes to Chancery Lane and into the estate of the URA flats. So there are many empty spaces for the residents which are not used on Sunday. Our members park into those spaces. We got a warning. These are private property and not for you. But our members, being careless, like sheep without a shepherd, park into those spaces again. Then we receive a nasty note from the secretary of the Residents Association. Next time you do this, we will puncture your tires. That is not a very friendly note. We did not do it purposely. Then, some time ago, I received a phone call at 8 o'clock Sunday morning, and a European voice said to me, "Why do you ring your bell so loud as to wake me out of sleep? Where can I complain?" I said, "The police station." But that shows you that those who are not Christians who live around this area have not lost any love for us. If you are outside Christ, then you are against Christ. I experienced that in Africa when we stayed in a very special hotel called the One Tree Hotel, where they go into the safari region to watch the wild beasts come in the night. Then we all sat together at dinner. And somehow the conversation arose. And a film star who was interested in things spiritual asked me some questions, hearing that I was a pastor. Immediately, a British officer from Hong Kong just quickly tore me to pieces. "What is that? We only enjoy our life in this world. And when we grow old and we die, that's it, we finish." They don't like to hear of God and of judgment. Happily for Singapore, this is a land of law, and people cannot take the law into their own hands, like in Indonesia, where you have heard many a time when this rioting starts, Christian churches are burned, and even the pastor killed. And this happened 1 year ago in Batam, when a church was attacked. And that is only just a matter of 15 miles away. The world owes no love to the church. And this is what it means when in verse 16, the Lord says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." We are sheep amongst wolves. And how can sheep live happily and peaceably? Further, it is stated that we'll be prosecuted, we'll be hauled up before the authorities, will be killed, and even members of the whole same family, father, will be against their children and children against their parents, and will even bring them to death. This happened in the Cultural Revolution of Mao Zedong, when because of ideology, the children will haul up their parents, whom they consider to be capitalists, and bring them to death. And so, terrible was a situation that even husbands and wives cannot confide in one another. This is predicted in the prophecy of Micah, where it says members of the same families will be at odds with one another. And so, a Christian lives under a reign of oppression. And when they bring you up to the council, what are you going to do? Sometimes we are completely helpless. We do not know what to say. But then the Lord comforts us. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what he shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what he shall speak. For it is not he that speak, but the Spirit of the Father which speaketh in you. Marvelous is the wonderful guidance of the Holy Spirit, that by your words of wisdom, they cannot do anything to you. In the year 1900, 101 years ago, I've told you before, there was a great persecution of Christians originating in North China, and 187 or 85 missionaries, including their children, were beheaded by the governor of Shantung. Many Christians, Chinese Christians, at least 20,000, also lost their lives. The movement spread very quickly from North China to South. In that year, my grandfather was a young pastor of a church in Suatau. Sensing that they would visit every church, he prepared to face the invaders. The signboard of the church, Ye Su Zheng Jiao, Jesus a true religion, was all the more displayed before the attackers came. Sensing that they were coming that afternoon, my grandfather prepared the best Chinese tea and a pile of peanut caramel in Hokkien, Tao Tao Teng, which the Teochew people like to eat and chew with tea. So when they came with the swords and spears, my grandfather went out to invite them, please come in for tea. And seeing those things that are so delicious, they could not resist. They had a full treatment of all the sweetmeats and the tea. And seeing that he was very composed and very steady, and being a just man, I thank God for my grandfather, who was a very devoted servant of the Lord all his life. They left without loss of life or limb, but plucked away the German clock on the wall and went away. The Lord gave him the right words to say and the right demeanor and expression to withstand wickedness. This story that he told me, grandchildren, has been with me all this while. To learn that in the hour of crisis, it is God who guides us to say the right words. Now you do not say, only the pastors are tackled and persecuted. No. If you are a Christian, you will be persecuted all the same. And in the hour of crisis, may the Lord give us each one the right words to say. Now, When they persecute you, this is what happens when they persecute you in this city. Flee into another. The Lord does not say, you must stand with me and stand for the truth and be prepared to die for me. Of course he says this in the latter part. But wisdom tells us, and the Lord tells us, if they persecute you, it is very legitimate for you to flee to another place. And this is exactly exemplified by the Apostle Paul after he was saved on the Damascus road and he went to Damascus. He was a changed man and began to preach Christ, and the people were amazed. This persecutor now instead is preaching Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the last few verses, Paul tells his own testimony that the governor of Damascus was after him and he set a garrison at the city gate to catch him. But disciples quietly let him down in a basket through a window in the wall of the city, and he escaped. And what great good he did since his escape until his death, finally as a martyr. There is a similar experience of John Calvin, whom you all should know, the great theologian that gives us our Presbyterian faith. When he heard wind that the university authorities in those days were strongly Roman Catholic, that his friend read a message that was strongly Protestant and it was ordered by John Calvin, they went after him. But hearing wind of their coming, Calvin happily escaped, also through a window, by his friends tying some bed sheets together, and he slid away, just in the nick of time. And since that escape, he wrote the Institutes of the Christian Religion, the masterpiece of all theologies. And he did such a marvelous work as a pastor in Geneva. Had he been taken at that moment by the university authorities, he would have been burned at the stake. Definitely. So here, the Lord gives us the wisdom. If there is a persecution of Christians, it is only proper that we take steps to go to another place of safety. So the Lord helps us to outwit our persecutors and to outmaneuver those who try to catch us, which is very legitimate. But then here comes the finality of the situation, and the Lord also hints the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, as a servant is with the Lord. What does this mean? Jesus hints of his own death. The time will come when they will kill him. But the servants are not above the master. If they kill the master, the servants must also be prepared to die. So here is a hint of martyrdom. Again, it is not just for the pastor to face the music. You will kill, when the time comes, anyone who is a Christian. But are you ready? There are other religions and other systems also talk of martyrdom. But it is not what our Lord means by dying for the faith. They take the extreme form of martyrdom, to sacrifice oneself in order to hurt the enemy. And we have this martyrdom started by the Japanese, which they call the kamikaze. Kamikaze means divine wind. They are so given up to their God and to the emperor that they are willing to die for the cause. So the Japanese bombers, these suicide squads, gladly plunged into the funnel of the warship and blew them up. And we have the same situation now in the Holy Land in Palestine. And last week there was one man by the name of Nefesh, that he would like to take revenge for all those that have been killed by the Jews. And so he tried to attack a checkpoint in Gaza. But he detonated his bomb prematurely. And he could not touch anybody, but he himself was blown up. Backfired. Such a terrible system of martyrdom. So they tried to win by being suicide bombers. But the martyrdom that is required of our Lord is that He is not very happy to make Christians die. In fact, He doesn't. He goes on to say that He is one who has power over life and death and able to destroy not only the body but also the soul. He controls everything. And He regards our life so much more than the sparrows, that even our hairs are numbered. Why should the loving Father send us to death unnecessarily? But there are times when it is necessary to prove the truth against error. And it was required of Him that all the apostles should die a martyr's death. That is according to tradition. At least the tradition of St. Thomas in India, how he was martyred, is very, very strong. But we have the record of Peter and Paul. Peter mentioned about his death and his coming, leaving his tabernacle. Paul also mentioned the same. Both of them died for the faith, and they willingly gave up their lives to testify for the truth, which strengthened the faith of other Christians, and they, following suit, died also the death for the Lord Jesus Christ. But in no time, the whole Roman Empire was conquered by the Christian faith in the beginning of the 4th century. Constantine the Great was the first Roman Emperor to capitulate to Christianity. And from that time, the whole Roman Empire officially became Christian. How strong was the death of those who bore the witness for the truth and for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Christians out-martyr the martyrs of other causes. They, in order to destroy, and are willing to give their lives. But in our case, it is a passive martyrdom, willing to stand for the truth. And God uses such a stand to conquer the heathen world. Isn't it such a marvel that the whole Roman Empire, because the emperor capitulated to Christianity, that's how the whole of Europe was made easy for the penetration of the gospel. But as we go on, the Lord refers, there is another way of life that is even more hard to live than the way of martyrdom. And he refers to the situation here that the foes of one's own household will be against us. Father and mother again, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, what is the meaning? They will be in the way if they are not Christians. And many of us face such a situation, we are only the first Christians in our own family. And they will withstand you. Then the Lord Jesus Christ says, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. In our daily life, day by day, living with our loved ones, and they are not Christian, they will come to a place of great antagonism against you. What are you going to do? Jesus says that he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Loveth son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. But you must serve him unconditionally, without hindrance of anyone. You must love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Then only can you be his disciple. And so this is what Peter answered the Lord Jesus Christ. When he asked him, and Peter said to him, behold, we have left all to follow you. Then what shall we have therefore? Jesus answered him, ye that have followed me in the regeneration, for the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. He shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Well, thank God that Peter could say it, and the rest of the apostles said the same thing, and the Lord blessed them. This is the only way to live. He that will find his life will lose it, to please your non-Christian relatives and the loved ones. But if you take up the cross and follow after me, he that will lose his life for my sake shall find it. This is a challenge indeed to our people here, because many of you are first-time Christians. All your family members are against you. If one will come and study Bible college, all the more they will object. You go and study Bible college, what money do you earn? And some of them are supporters of their own families. But we have to take a stand. There are some applicants to the Bible college, and they face great odds because they are the supporters of the family, and if they come, they will not be able to do so. And that is a real test and a problem. The college or the church will help, but only up to a certain point. And they have got to work out their own salvation. But it is for them to take the step. He that will find his life will lose it, but he that will lose his life for my sake will find it. And thank God, it is a wonderful thing to read it in the concluding passage of Jesus' statement to the disciples. And he says, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of the disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. In other words, you who have come to follow me and at great expense and sacrifice, even conquering the temptation of yielding to your parents or even your wife, you come and serve me, and those who are in my camp, those who are my disciples, will take good care of you. And how wonderful it is worked out in this way. Not by might, not by power, but by His Holy Spirit, God will raise up those who are in sympathy with the Lord to take care of us. I will close by citing one very noble example of a Korean missionary. There is one by the name of Jonathan Lee. And he is the one who goes into the slums to stay with the poor people. He began by cutting their hair, trimming their nails, bringing the sick children, many of them, to the hospital. And as a result of his living among them and taking good care of them, many of the slum children and young people have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he has grown so many that there are over 100 converts together with their families. But the house that he rents in the slum area is much too small. The biggest hall can contain about 60 or 70 people. Though it's a three-story building, but they are only rooms. The Lord so calls the people of Korea, especially one Dr. Elder Lee, to sympathize with him, that from him has come quite a few ten thousands of US dollars to buy a piece of land right inside the slum. And also from him many thousands of US dollars that now they're able to build a four-story church complex. And he told me, the people here are so poor that they have no place to go to the toilet, nor any place to take a bath. So how do you do it? There is a field that is enclosed by a wall. And to relieve themselves, they have got to climb a ladder over the wall into the bush and do it there. They don't have any bathroom. I've visited the place. How do they even take a bath? It's a mystery to me. So in this four-story complex, you will see it in your weekly today. There will be bathrooms and toilets made specially for the slum dwellers that they can go there and use to turn the hell into heaven. And so our people, seeing his zeal and his devotion, have also given to him, and I feel that this is very little that we can do. They have gone out with great sacrifice. We are his brothers and sisters. And we read about these things. But what sacrifice have we made? The whole world is hostile against us. And we are prepared, we must be prepared to meet a hostile world. But in meeting the hostile world, we do not just care for ourselves, but we must care for one another. If it is time for us to escape, to run to another city, we should help one another. And so forth. And so, he that loveth father and mother more than me, or wife, is not worthy of me.
But he that will follow me must take up the cross daily and follow me. We are Christians in a Singapore that is gaining in Christianity. And by the grace of God, our government has been very fair to Christianity. And we must thank the Lord. But times may change, and rules may change, that will be detrimental or against Christianity. Then we as a family should pull together and help one another and sacrifice also along with our brother who sacrifices himself. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee that Thou art a loving Father, and everything that happens in the world is under Thy hand. And when You have permitted death or martyrdom to us, help us to be able to bear it, to witness a good confession like the apostles. And help us also at the same time to be of help to our brethren who are laboring for You in the uttermost severe circumstances, that we may truly put our faith into practice. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.